Welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN, and actually our final week here of the 2017 season, first round of the playoffs upon us. We'll take a look back at how we did in week number 9 and then get ready for our picks here this week. It's the regular crew, Doug Leonard, Jim Field, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks. We'll be back after we hear a word from our sponsors, Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union, here on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Every farmer would like to take less risk and make more revenue on the farm, right? Now you can with Price Flex from ProAg. You can lock out the market bottom, find opportunities to cover costs, and take the most out of the markets today and in the future. Talk to Ag Business Crop Insurance about how Price Flex will work for you. Take less risk, make more revenue with Price Flex. Call your trusted ProAg Crop Insurance partner today, Ag Business Crop Insurance, at 712-243-5464.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's take a look back here at last week, week number 9, the end of the regular season, and ended up being a couple of 7-1 marks here for us, as Doug and Jim both went 7-1. Myself and Matt went 6-2 last week, and now that gives Jim a little bit of a bigger advantage here heading down the stretch into this final week. It's a 53-19 record for Jim overall. He is three games out in front of both Matt and Doug. They're both at 50-22. I'm holding up the rear of the cart, 49-23. So that's how the overall standings look here. So we've got some ground to make up here in this final week of action. Let's look back to last week, how it happened. It was Stanton defeating Bedford at home, 36-20, as the Vikings win the district crown there, and we all had that one correct. We also all had Exira EHK as they picked up a 62-24 win over East Mills. It was Fremont Mills, 42-12 over Cam. That was a winner for everybody but Matt. He went out on a limb there with the Cougars. Audubon was a 59-0 winner over Arweva. They wrap up the district title, stay unbeaten, and we all had the Wheelers there. Underwood, 24-0. They shut out Red Oak. That was a winner for Matt and for Jim. Doug and myself swung and missed on that one. And Shenandoah wins the Page County Super Bowl, 35-26. High-scoring affair there between these two squads. Shenandoah, a pick for Doug and Matt. That was a loser for myself and for Jim. And then it was Winterset winning an 18-3 ball game over Denison Schleswig. We all had the Huskies there. And Harlan wins at Atlantic 22-0. That was a winner for everybody but Matt last week. So that's how the sheet went there in week number 9. Now we head into the playoffs here. So two teams from, of course, playoffs. Each district making it, and the two at-large teams, playoffs. Jim Morris not here with us here today, so that might be a good thing. Usually his insight is not the most insightful, but let's get down to a couple of picks here. We're going to start off our picks this week with a couple of 8-man games. We've got a first matchup is one that we'll be bringing to you here on the radio, as the Audubon Wheelers will be at home to take on Newell Fonda here in the first round. 9-0 versus 8-1. And, well, what's the vote here? Is Jim going to pick first on this game, every game, couple it's games, your, whatever games show, you decide?
The professor, yeah. He gets to pick first. And then
let's
just
see. We had 2 7-1s last week. I don't know. Doug, which one do you want to pick first?
I want to pick sitting on a different side of Jim, because I think he's only going to pick in front of me twice, but I'm not a math guy, so I should have sat on his left, not on his right. Can we go counterclockwise?
Just not on my lap, please.
Well, we'll let him get it started here today. Let's do the traditional route. So what do you think here? Wheeler's going to get it done at home?
You know, great couple of defenses here. Newell Fonda. They had just that one loss, but it was to number 3 ranked Remsen St. Mary's. 6 times this year they held their opponents to single digits. And I think Newell Fonda probably played a tougher schedule than what Audubon played this year, too. But Audubon's stars are pretty tough offensively. They're going to be hard to stop. And Audubon's got four shutouts of their own, including the last three in a row, and they shut out the 7-2 Arweva team to finish off the season. So they're kind of on a roll here defensively as well. This is a toughie. I mean, I kept saying all year long, Audubon, pick them. They're not going to lose till they get to the Dome. This one's going to be tough tonight. This one's going to be real tough. Newell Fonda's got a lot of tradition there. It's at Audubon. I'm going to take the Wheelers, but this could be an awfully entertaining first-round football game, the kind we never seem to get when we had four teams qualifying from each district.
And I think the second-round game could be equally as difficult, right?
They're almost all like state championship games. Yeah, that's great. It's going to be really competitive. That eight-man class is really competitive right now.
All right, that's one for the Wheelers. Matt, what do you think?
Well, yeah, as far as points allowed in season, you've got number one, number three here, defenses in the state, entire state. Yeah, very close number-wise offensively. They both very similar numbers as far as even rushing the ball and throwing the ball. So a lot of similarities. Like Jim said, Newell Fonda's strength of schedule is probably quite a bit significantly tougher on the season, which also could go to why maybe their offense hasn't been quite the production. But Audubon's got the offensive numbers, I think, this time of season, plus they've got that defense in there. So I'm going to give the edge to the home team, the Wheelers. Basically, that's the difference. And they've got the experience as well. It's not to say I think they've been tested, and each time they've risen to the test.
Was it last year or the year before that Audubon had such a good regular season and then first round
last
playoffs?
Year, yeah.
Was it last year? And then they disappeared immediately. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's not going to be a motivating factor for them too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that when I've talked to Coach Burks there from Audubon, that they kind of said before the season even started, hey guys, we know we have an opportunity to have a good year, but it's going to come down to the end. Can we prove it at the end of the season that we can get it done? Because last year they kind of stubbed their toe the last week against Arweva, lost. That sent them then on the road, and they lost to Harris Lake Park in that opening round. So they're looking to change that script here this time around. And I think that is a good motivating factor for them in this game. It is, if I was an Audubon coach right now, I would not be very pleased with the Iowa High School Athletic Association. I think they got a really raw deal. They're going to have to go through number five and number two in the polls right now to get to the semifinals, and doesn't seem awfully fair for an undefeated team. But, they say that geography isn't always the issue, and I think that's what ended up happening. You try to avoid first-round rematches, and Fremont Mills gets one against Stanton, and that probably was the team I thought that Audubon would end up playing. But that's how it worked out. That's what they have in front of them, and all you can do now is go out there and win the game. And I think they do get it done here in this first-round game. I'm going to take Audubon as well. It's kind of the proving moment for them, and it's going to be on the shoulders of Tyler Reboff. It's not that they don't have a lot of great players, but it's his time to prove it and get it done. He's the quarterback. He's a leading rusher, leading passer, and we'll see if he can go out there and make the plays to get a win. And it will be a tough opponent here in the first round in Newell Fonda, but I think Audubon gets by him here to get that chance there in the next round. Doug.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to go back into my office in Audubon after this pick, but Jim's only picking in front of me twice today. So, that it's just a tough matchup. But, I think Audubon's rooting for Audubon, think they're going to win, but I'm going to, I've got to make up some ground on Jim, so I'm going to take Newell Fonda.
It's all about the game.
Well,
this game, not the football game.
Yeah, who's going to win?
Who's going to win in this room?
It's been a long time since I've had that trophy, going back to 2014, so.
Yeah. There you go. Got to do what you got to do.
That's right.
There you go.
Longer for some of them. I just come for the food. By the way, thank you for the meals.
Absolutely.
On record, thank you for the meals this year.
We're just here for the fun. We're here for the laughs, right? All right. Next one here on the sheet is also an eight-man football game, and the one that I alluded to. Fremont Mills goes on the road to take on Stanton in opening round, a rematch from earlier in the year. And the Knights coming off that win and get in game last week that we had for you over Cam, where they won it fairly impressively. And Matt, what do you think's going to happen here this time around?
Well, this is one of them that I wanted Jim to go first for, because I think it's that close of a game. I kind of looked through the old BC Moore rankings. He kind of puts a lot of those statistics and analytics together as far as strength of schedule and teams and so on and so forth. And these two teams rate out very, very close number-wise across the board, whether it be strength, schedule, offense, defensive numbers. So I think really what it comes down to is the personnel in here. You've got Stanton. These two teams, by the way, played back in week three, I believe it was two or three, and Stanton came out on top 42-35, so a close game. Fremont Mills did not have Jaeger Powers. He's their top running back. He wasn't playing at that time. Stanton, on the other hand, they were had a full team, even Dylan Rocha, who may not be playing this week. He's been out since about week four. And back in that game, he had five receptions, two touchdowns, four tackles for a loss, interception. He's 6'8", 220 pounds. So that's somebody that I think on the defensive side that Stanton has really missed down the stretch here. And if they go into this game without him, you know, they're really going to miss him in there. Fremont Mills, both their losses to decent teams. Their other loss was to Sydney, close game. I'm going to give the edge to the road team. I'm going with Fremont Mills.
All right. One for the Knights. And, yeah, I guess this is also one that I really don't think I have a chance of winning this thing anyways, but I didn't want to go before Jim on this one either. But I honestly don't think this will be that tall of a task for Fremont Mills. I think they're going to win the game. Okay. I think they're going to win it pretty handily. They did not have Jagger Powers, as you mentioned, that first time around. They also did not have Blake Hurley, their nose guard, who was a big force for them in that game last week against Cam. Their defensive line played lights out against Cam, too. They were all over the place. Thomas Hensley didn't have a lot of room to run, and that's a tough guy to get in front of. So I think the Knights, they avenge that loss. I think they get one here. Doug?
Yeah, I was impressed by their performance against Cam last week. Now I got to figure out, with your picking and you have – have you influenced Jim enough? Let me see if I he hasn't marked anything on a sheet yet. I'm going to take Stanton.
All right. One for the Vikings.
Well, Doug, I'll give you a shot here.
Yeah.
Because I'm taking Fremont Mills. And for a lot of the same reasons these guys did, too. I did the same thing Matt did. I was looking at the BC Moore ratings and stuff. And they actually list, you know, normally in the playoffs, you just automatically, especially in the first round, you look and you think, well, the home team, you know, obviously they earned the home field advantage. That's going to be the team that's favored. B.C. Moore doesn't have him favored. He's he's got Fremont Mills just by a couple of points, but he's kind of handicapping it that way. You know, the first time these two teams played, it was just a slosh fest. I mean, Stanton and Fremont Mills, you know, two proud programs. They each had six turnovers in the ball game. It was just kind of awful. You know, Stanton did have a bye week 2 weeks ago because they started a week early, and then they finished off the season last week, and they are at home. They do have that advantage, so that's kind of the equalizer there too. But, yeah, I just think Fremont Mills has – I just think they're a little bit better team. I really think that they've been playing a little bit better, and I like their chances in the rematch too. So I'm going to go with the Knights.
All right, that's another one there for Fremont Mills.
And it's not a long road trip.
No.
It's not like you're driving 3 hours up north.
Yeah, exactly. And they're opponent they're familiar with too from lots of different sports over the years. So Fremont Mills, that's going to leave Doug out on a limb there with Stan. He's got a couple of limbers already here to start the program. So we'll see how it goes for
could
for
be
Doug
08.
Here. Could be. He could make a big comeback, too. You never know. Never know what could happen here in the first round of the playoffs. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back and start looking at some 11-man football games here for you on our picks. This is Who's Going to Win here on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Every farmer would like to take less risk and make more revenue on the farm, right? Now you can with Price Flex from ProAg. You can lock out the market bottom, find opportunities to cover costs, and take the most out of the markets today and in the future. Talk to Ag Business Crop Insurance about how Price Flex will work for you. Take less risk, make more revenue with Price Flex. Call your trusted ProAg crop insurance partner today, Ag Business Crop Insurance, at 712-243-5464.
Back now on Who's Going to Win, let's move into a Class A matchup here in the first round. It'll be a Lamar's Galen Catholic going on the road to take on a Southwest Valley. And I guess I get first crack here at looking at this one. Southwest Valley, I was pretty impressed with them. The chance I got to see them earlier this year against Griswold, Chance Cobb is just kind of one of those special guys. He can do it all at the quarterback spot there for Southwest Valley. He's got over 700 yards passing, 700 yards rushing. He's gotten the end zone 20 different times. And they've got some other pieces, too, that are good players. Aaron Armstrong, Aiden Gall, Addison Bull at the wideout spot's been a pretty good player for them, too. You look at the numbers, though, for Galen, and they have put up a lot of offense. 1,300 yards passing for Cole Wilch in their quarterback, 9 touchdowns on the season, but he's also thrown 9 interceptions. So they've been had a little bit of propensity to turn the ball over a little bit. And I think Southwest Valley is not that kind of team. They're going to take care of the football. They're going to, you know, kind of play that more reserve style most of the time. And I think they've got the horses to get it done here in the first round. So I'm going with Southwest Valley. Doug.
The only thing I had to know about Southwest Valley is they beat St. Albert. And I thought that was a team that was going to go, that was going to run through their schedule this year. And, you know, I think the weather in that game, you know, certainly played a factor, but they were in the ball game and obviously, again, won the ball game. So I'm going to take Southwest Valley.
All right. That's two already here for the Timberwolves. Jim, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to make it three. You know, you go into these games typically, traditionally, and we always expect, because football's always been so good up there in the northwest part of the state, we just assume that, well, Galen Catholic obviously played a better schedule. And granted, Southwest Valley, you know, I've been trying to kind of dismiss them all year, figuring that's not going to last, it's not going to last. It did. But I actually spent the time. Their opponents this year have identical records, 32-49. Neither team played a whiz-banger of a schedule, and Galen Catholic lost to their two toughest opponents, and Southwest Valley really had one top-flight opponent, and they beat them. So, and like you said, Cobb's having a good year, and I like the way they protect the football. They just don't get themselves in bad positions. So I'm going to go with Southwest Valley here at home, too. I like their opportunity here.
All right, that's three there. Matt?
Well, first of all, you know, as much as we talked about the eight-man and some of the state's pairings for them, you know, kind of scheduling what I think a lot of good teams early on together. So I think they're an eight-player. I think they really kind of messed up with some opportunities, especially with the games we played on Friday night. Well, here you go. Here's Lamar's Galen coming from north of Sioux City, clear down here to Southwest Valley, you know. They did it in 1A. Why couldn't they have done it in the 8-player to kind of spread them out a little bit? But anyway, you know, Galen Catholic, they come in. They got one of the wild card berths, 7-2. They lost last week to Westwood, who ended up getting the second place seed there out of their district. So, you know, it'll be, you know, how do they bounce back this week for them? They come in, they've got, you know, a couple of twins in the backfield there, running backs, good size, 6'2", 215 for both of them. I think the one thing is the defense stood out to me. Both these have good defense. Galen Catholic has 17 interceptions and 7 fumble recoveries, and Southwest Valley 13 interceptions and 9 fumble recoveries. So that's a lot of turnovers that their defenses have gained. Galen Catholic, long drive. They're anchored in their line. Brian Nohavi, he's a North Dakota State commit, 6'5", 280 in there. They go 6'2", 250, 6'3", 200, 6'3", 210 in their line. I don't think Southwest Valley has seen that type of size, especially the running backs there. So I'm going to go with Galen Catholic, probably a big upset on the road.
All right. So that's one to shake it up.
And you know what? A lot of good people are born in the city of Lamar's. So I got to go with Lamar's on
that. I think
that.
I figured out where Matt was born.
Some bad people are born there too.
I want to change my profession. I would like to be an accountant so I can sit around and play on the computer with statistics all day. What do you do for a living?
That's what they do. Look at numbers.
Off today with the sick child, so I had ample time to research. So, yes, I know. Okay. There's only a few games where I've got this. And there are toss-up games in there. So.
Who has that time?
Well, this, you know, who's going to win is not done during tax season.
That's true. That's right. That's true. We could reschedule.
All right, so we shake that one up a little bit there. The all the numbers came out on that one. IKM Manning is going on the road to take on West Lyon here in our next one as we move to Class 1A here for a couple of games. And IKM Manning, you made the playoffs. Congratulations. You get to go to Inwood and take on the top-ranked team in the state. Doug, what do you think is going to happen here?
Well, you know, I was surprised by IKM Manning's season this year. I had been little research before the season started and was told that there was going to be sort of a rebuilding year for them. So, you know, they ended up having a pretty good season. But as you said, going and playing at West Lyon, you know, they have an offense that is tough to slow down. They have a quarterback that's got 19 touchdowns and one interception. So, you know, certainly good at protecting the ball. And then like Jim mentioned, you know, the teams that they play up there, you know, George, Little Rock, Emmitsburg, I mean, some of those schools that they, you know, historic great programs up there, and they've gone 9-0 up there. So I'm going to take the home team.
All right, so that's one for West Lyon. Jim, what do you think?
Matt took too much time on his pick last time, so I'll just get right to it. West Lyon.
West Lyon, all right.
Well,
yeah,
you
we got a pregame to get to here.
Yeah, come on. You see, I have no notes for this game. West Lyon.
No need.
Yeah, they're according to BC Moore, they're 46-point favorite, and there's a 100% chance of that. So that's all I need to say. West Lyon.
I'm going to agree. I'm making a sweep here across the board with West Lyon. Yeah, they are an impressive team. 6 shutouts on the season. That's impressive. You go through a year. We move on here to take a look at another Class 1A game. It's AHSTW at home, and they get to take on Western Christian here, the defending champions out of 1A coming to Avoca. Jim, what do you think?
All right, I got some stats here. this one concerns me. Western Christians, you got to knock them off if you want to take the championship away. So, but, you know, I was looking at numbers from last year. What a difference sometimes a player or two can make from one season to another. With Tyson Coima as their starting quarterback last year, who threw for over 2,500 yards and 38 touchdowns, Ben Granstra was able to run for 1,800-plus yards and 23 scores last year. This year, without Tyson Coima at quarterback, they had four different guys throw passes. They ended up throwing for 14 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and Granstra, because they could focus more on him, only ran for 841 yards and 13 scores. Hmm. How they are intertwined. But you didn't know that, did you?
No.
What do you do for a living? Jeez.
Yeah, well, I just did this on one. Yeah, this one bugs me a little bit because Western Christian, they did lose some quality players from last year's state championship team, and AHSTW playing without Gabe Pauly last week showed that they can be a little vulnerable against Missouri Valley. But I think Gabe Pauly is such a difference maker, and being back in the lineup this week, I do like AHSTW. Barely. I think this is going to be a very, very tough, hard-hitting football game, knowing the way these two teams play.
All right, so that's one going for Avoca, HSTW. Matt, what do you think?
Well, we're getting down here on the games, and so I need a couple with Jim to go opposite, so I'm going to go with Western Christian. Their two losses are big losses. They lost to West Lyon, who we just talked about before. And then they lost to another team we'll be talking about here, Boyden Hole Rock Valley, 55-14, 49-14. But, you know, they still got a decent team in there. Like Jim said, those are big differences from year to next. But, you know, it'll come down to just, you know, more turnovers. And supposedly this weather is going to be nasty this week. So we'll just see who handles it. But I'm going to go with Western Christian.
All right, so that's one there for Western Christian, and let's see. I already can't win, so yeah. This one, I'm a little worried here too. A few weeks ago, if you would have asked me, I would have thought, you know, Avoca, no matter who they play first round, they're not going to have a problem. But The offense has kind of sputtered the last couple of weeks. Even in that game against Logan Magnolia, they didn't put up a lot of numbers. They ended up having a lot of great field position that let them score. I think they hopefully will have the motivation, though, too. You know, getting a player back like that in Pauly after unfortunately had to sit out a week will make a big difference for them. It's going to be tough getting on down the road, I think, but they'll maybe edge this one out. So I'm going to give the Vikings a chance to win this one here. Doug?
I'm going back with Mullinex logic, and again, not to offend our listeners over in Avoca in that area, because I'm certainly rooting for them. But, some things are more important, like who's going to win and getting that championship back. So I'm going to take Western Christian. I think it's probably a long shot. I think AHSTW has been a tough team to play all year long.
Hoisting the Hoosman Trophy.
Got to do something there.
All right, we're going to move on to Class 2A here for our next one as Kemper Catholic goes on the road to take on Boyden Hole Rock Valley. And, Matt, you just brought up Boyden Hole. What do they do?
Well, their only loss in the season is to West Lyme, 35-28. They're a tough ball club. It's kind of like a lot of similarities to the IKM-West Lyme game as far as the matchup. Boyden Hole Rock Valley, heavily favored. They're going to be at home, so I'm going to go with Boyden Hole Rock Valley.
All right. I agree with you there. I'm going to go with them as well. Their quarterback, and I don't know how to say his name, so I'm not even going to try, but 1,396 yards, 18 touchdowns, and he's also ran for almost 900 yards and 16 scores, so pretty impressive for them. I'll go with them.
You're not going to say – I don't even know what his name is, but you said Andrew Shishin.
That's true. That's true. But I was told that by somebody. Yeah,
yep, that's true. if you guys are telling me that their only loss was to West Lyon and they're by seven points, obviously we all think West Lyon's a salty squad. So I'm going to take Boyden Hole. Kemper's losses this year were to who?
Somebody Albert pretty bad. South Central Calhoun.
Yeah, and they lost fairly bad to St. Albert.
Yeah, really bad. Yeah.
So I don't know. They've had a good record and won the games. Probably they should, but I don't know if it's their toughest squad this year. So,
all right. Going to make it a sweep, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no way Kemper Catholic beats Boyden Hole Rock Valley. I'm not sure they beat Boyden Hole or Rock Valley. Put them together, not happening.
Not going to happen. All right, we're going to have a couple of Class 3A picks here for you as we finish up. We'll do that after we take this break.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Every farmer would like to take less risk and make more revenue on the farm, right? Now you can with Price Flex from ProAg. You can lock out the market bottom, find opportunities to cover costs, and take the most out of the markets today and in the future. Talk to Ag Business Crop Insurance about how Price Flex will work for you. Take less risk, make more revenue with Price Flex. Call your trusted ProAg Crop Insurance partner today, Ag Business Crop Insurance, at 712-243-5464.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's head to our final couple of picks here for the 2017 campaign, and we'll go to Class 3A. And we've got Glenwood going on the road to take on Sergeant Bluff Luton here in their first contest. And I guess I get the unfortunate task of going first here on this pick. Glenwood, their only loss, that close game to Harlan earlier in the year. They just couldn't get the offense going enough in that one to get it started. Sergeant Bluff Luton, you look at them, they certainly have some offensive firepower. They've got a quarterback that's thrown for over 1,300 yards and a running back who's run for over 1,300 yards here on the season. So a lot of offense there. I guess, though, when I've kind of looked at this matchup between what's going to be between these two districts, I honestly don't think that district is quite as good as maybe the impression comes out there to be. You look at some of the records of the teams that are in there, and they're all kind of middle of the road. There's not a lot of teams that have really set themselves apart from the pack. You know, Glenwood was there last year. They got to the semifinals. They certainly did lose some big pieces off of that team, and they've kind of had to work their way back to the level where they're at now at this point in the season. But I think they've gotten better as the season's moved along. I'm going to give Glenwood a chance here to go on the road and steal a victory here in the opening round. I'm going to go with the Rams. Doug?
I don't know. I really don't know on this one. Glenwood, I've got to think again, what's Jim going to do? I've got three games opposite of him so far. I need to get one more game to maybe take the title. But I think he's going to take Sergeant Bluff Luton. And I've been anti-Glenwood. Not anti-Glenwood, but I just haven't seen the...
Anti-me.
Well, no. No, I mean, I'm not rooting against Glenwood. They're good kids. But I just see their wins haven't been overly impressive this year. But, you know, they've started handing that ball off to Noah Carter, and he's been churning out the yards on the ground now, which is a weapon for them that they didn't use earlier in the year. And I do think, you know, Coach Faust is a good coach. I think they've been gelling a little bit more towards the end here. So I'm gonna go for the upset, road team.
All right, couple for the Rams. Jim.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm going with Sergeant Bluff Luton in this one. They just haven't turned the ball over very much this year. And honestly, if Glenwood could get off to a good start, that would be better. But they've been notoriously slow starting, it seems, week after week after week. It's been a slow go. I just when you get to the playoffs, you just can't afford to fall behind a little bit. Some of these teams are, you know, they're going to spill blood. They're going to put you away. That's a healthy drive up I-29. I'm going to take Sergeant Bluff Luton in this one.
All right, it's one the other way, Matt.
Well, according to a few of my sources, Sergeant Bluff Luton's got a few injuries, hurting a little bit, so I'm going to go with Glenwood on the road. I think, but like Doug said, this last half of the season for Glenwood, Carter and Bloom just have really picked it up. Their defense has really picked it up as they've gone down the road. So I'm going to go with Glenwood. It's going to be a close one. Sergeant Bluff Luton, they kind of, a lot of weapons out there too in there. But go with the Rams. Upset. Gives me another game over Jim.
All right. That's three for the Rams there, that one on the road. We're going to go to another Class 3A game, and this is another one out of District 7, another team out of the Hawkeye 10, as the Harlan Cyclones will be home to take on Bishop Heelan here in the first round, a team they certainly have a history with here as they get into this first round of the playoffs. And, Doug, what do you think is going to happen here?
Well, had the opportunity to work the chains for the Atlantic Harlan game last week, so I got a good vantage point to see Harlan. You know, they're size-wise, they're impressive. I do think they definitely run block a little bit better than pass blocking. It was interesting to see Harlan come out in the first half last week, and it seemed like they were trying to work on their passing game, you know, a little bit. They I would say, struggled somewhat, you know, when they were doing that. Didn't seem like the quarterback was terribly accurate. Now he's coming off, you know, I think an injured finger or whatever, too. So, but then second half, you know, they started giving the ball to Foss, and, you know, it just kind of wore Atlantic down. Atlantic had a great effort and a great season, for that matter. You know, I think I don't think Harlan will be able to wear Bishop Heelan down, but I just think that this is, you know, this is not necessarily a great year for them. You know, they've got a good team, but I think I'm going to take Harlan. If they pound the ball with Foss, I think they can grind out a victory.
All right, so we're going to go one there for the Cyclones. Jim?
Yeah, me too. I think recruiting was down a little bit at Heelan this year. I think Harlan's...
What about their recruiting?
Kind of get, well, it's been pretty solid. I just think that they've been playing some pretty solid football. You know, yeah, they've got some challenges and things, but I just heard Chris Parks tell me that the district down here was pretty good this year. Probably better than maybe most folks from the outside would give them credit for right out of the gate until you take a look into the numbers. So, yeah, I think Harlan's played a decent brand of ball this year. I don't think Kurt Blatt is shaking his head at the air raid attack like they had a few years back that he's not a big fan of. But, you know, they've been gotten back to putting the ball on the ground and taking care of business. And I just think they'll do that again here tonight.
All right. Another one there for Harlan. Matt?
Okay. Yeah, like Doug said there, Harlan tried to throw the ball, trying to work on a few things, wasn't overly successful at it. Same can be said for Heelan. They're just going to run with Sabian Clark all night. They really struggle throwing the ball as well. So probably going to be a quick game. And who's going to win the battle up front? A lot of similarities across the board with both these teams. I already did the numbers, of course, for you guys because you had the discrepancy of which district was supposedly tougher. And according to the BC Moore numbers, District 1, which would be Heelan, Sergeant Bluff, Luton, their average ranking was about 21.75, and District 7 was 24.375. So a lot of similarities in there. So got to have one more game that's opposite of Jim's. So I guess I'm going to have to pick Bishop Heelan, although I don't – it'll be a good game. It's going to be close, just like the one before. There's both these districts, a lot of similarities, and week to week anything could happen. So, again, it's just going to come down to the night turnover. So I'll go with Heelan because I need one up on Jim to guarantee my victory.
All right. Got to get that trophy.
It's been 8 years. 9 years. Wow.
Nine long years
without that trophy on the mantle.
This is another one that is tough. I think it will be another close game. But you look at the two losses that Heelan had to Sergeant Bluff, Luton, Spencer, especially that Spencer one, not the most impressive team throughout the year. So I think the way that Harlan's played consistently, you know, every time that we kind of thought that they were going to stumble along the way and here's another tough game where they could fall, it hasn't happened, and they're getting it done. So I think their running game wins out over Heelan's, and they get the victory. So I'm going to go with Harlan. All right, that's going to do it here, 2017. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for organizing it, Chris. Yeah, do I give my acceptance speech now, or you want me to wait until the first show of next season?
Might have to have a revisit here on the air at some point.
Professor.
I just check
it. To try to hear you explain how you lost.
Yeah, that could be.
You should have us all in for the morning show.
Yeah, could be.
A little recap.
Yeah, season recap, yeah. We have to do that. All right, well.
You do that live, though, and we're going to – how would we edit out all the swearing that we do?
We keep it clean.
Program
over. That's going to do it for Who's Going to Win here for the 2017 season. Our thanks to Doug Leonard, Jim Field, Matt Mullinex, myself, Chris Parks, and thanks to Nishna Valley Credit Union and Ag Business Associates for their sponsorship here throughout the year. We'll have high school football coming up here for you. Audubon hosting Newell Fonda in the first round of the 8-man playoffs. That's Who's Going to Win here on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Every farmer would like to take less risk and make more revenue on the farm, right? Now you can with PriceFlex from ProAg. You can lock out the market bottom, find opportunities to cover costs, and take the most out of the markets today and in the future. Talk to Ag Business Crop Insurance about how PriceFlex will work for you. Take less risk, make more revenue with PriceFlex. Call your trusted ProAg Crop Insurance partner today, Ag Business Crop Insurance, at 712-243-5464.